days of Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise in defense of Mother Earth.
Earth First. And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, locked out of the dragon at the road blockade, or riding your jet ski around the Coast Guard. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil and paper handy and listen for the contact information in the latter part of the show. All right, let's get right into our activist news tonight. We read that charges have been dropped against animal rights activist accused of freeing mink. Jeremy Lee Parkin, 19, of Riverton, Utah, has just seen all charges against him dropped at a pretrial hearing. Animal Liberations has declared this case a victory both for the animals and their fellow activist. On November 24th of last year, Parkin was arrested at his home by a swarm of agents from the Federal Bureau of Investigation and local law enforcement. Police charged Parkin with five felony counts relating to a protest at the Beckstead Mink Ranch, November 13th of 1999. During a protest by the Coalition to Abolish the Fur Trade, animals were allegedly liberated by unknown activists and breeding records for the animals were destroyed. Beckstead was previously the target of direct action by the Animal Liberation Front, an international underground organization that first made its mark in Utah in 1992. Jeremy Parkin soon began a hunger strike at the Salt Lake Adult Detention Complex, denied him vegan meals. But due to strong support from the outside, the jail was inundated with calls from concerned people around the nation demanding the release and or better treatment of Parkin. With bail set at an extraordinarily high $100,000, bond could not be paid until a reduction hearing almost 2 weeks later. After spending 14 days on a hunger strike and losing over 15 pounds, Parkin was bailed out by his parents. The Collective for Activist Defense has been working to publicize the case from the time of Parkin's arrest last November. Quote, seeing the response to Jeremy's case and the intense love and support from the global activist community has been very powerful, said Sabrina Forzi, who has been acting as spokesperson for the Collective for Activist Defense. I have read inspiring letters from animal and earth liberationists all over the world wishing us luck and sending their strength to Jeremy. An injury to one is an injury to all, and activists responded accordingly. This also goes to prove that nothing can stop direct actionists from freeing animals and economically sabotaging animal exploiters. Warriors of the Earth are raising bricks, spray paint, and monkey wrenches against those who profit from destroying the Earth and her animal nations. This is the war for life itself, and we are winning. Jeremy Parkin, all charges have been dropped. And here's a note from the Klamath Forest Alliance. Dear friends, as you may be aware, nine members of the Yuba Nation were recently convicted of criminal charges for their nonviolent protests against the Sierra Pacific Industries clearcutting in the Sierra Nevada. As a result of those convictions, Yuba Nation activists were ordered to pay steep fines and restitution to the logging contractor. In addition, the activists were required to work for Nevada County as part of a work release program and put on 2 years of probation or until the fines and restitution are paid in full. One Yuba Nation member, Brian Vincent, requested jail time instead of work release to further elevate the issue of industrial logging and will be incarcerated in the Wayne County Correctional Facility in Nevada County for 10 days this month. He has vowed to refuse food while in jail. Yuba activists need your help now. Our legal bills are high. Until we pay those expenses off, we will remain on probation, hampering our ability to defend the Sierra's rich biological legacy. While some may disagree with nonviolent direct action, we believe Yuba Nation's tactics, such as blockading logging roads, locking ourselves to logging equipment, and occupying SPI's office, have played a critical role in raising awareness about the company's logging rampage in California. When SPI threatened to log along the Yuba River late last year, few, if ever, heard of the timber company. In fact, for the last several years, SPI, Sierra Pacific Industries, has operated below the radar screen, quietly acquiring land and plotting to clear-cut much of it. Sierra Pacific Industries, which owns 1.5 million acres in California, has become the second largest private landowner in the United States since Yuba Nation and other residents of other parts of the state began protesting SPI. The company has attracted a great deal of media, including CNN, National Public Radio, Wall Street Journal, Associated Press, Salon Magazine, Los Angeles Times, San Francisco Chronicle, Contra Costa Times, San Francisco Bay Guardian, Earth First Radio, and Earth First Journal, and statewide television news. We feel honored to be associated with Yuba Nation, a group of brave Nevada County residents who, in the spirit of Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, and Julia Hill Butterfly, have risked their personal freedom and safety for a just and noble cause, and we are humbled by the grand trees of the Sierra Forest. Our only regret is that we could not save them all. To assist Yuba Nation with their legal expenses, the group has established a fund through the nonprofit conservation group Klamath Forest Alliance. If you know of others who would like to help us with our legal bills, please ask them to send their checks to Klamath Forest Alliance, Activist Legal Defense Fund, P.O. Box 820, Etna, California. That's ETNA, California 96027. Once again, that address, Klamath Forest Alliance, Activist Legal Defense Fund, P.O. Box 820, Etna, California 96027. Make checks out to Klamath Forest Alliance and write Activist Legal Defense Fund on the memo area. Thank you, and may the forest be with you. Signed, Heidi Starr and Brian Vincent. Here's an announcement. Conserving Wildlife at the Start of the 21st Century, Politics and Realities. This is going to be happening February 22nd through the 24th in Sacramento, California. This is the Wildlife Society's 2001 annual meeting for the Western Section. Workshop topics include habitat mapping, habitat restoration, wildlife translocations, sage grouse, forest management, and media relations. If you'd like more information, contact Barry Garrison, California Department of Fish and Game. His number, 916-653-1738. That's 916-653-1738. Or the address, bagarris@dfg.ca.gov. Or you can go to the webpage www.tws-west.org. That's www.tws-west.org. And the National Forest Activist Training is coming up. The Wilderness Society is hosting an advanced National Forest Activist Training on February 23rd through the 25th at the Hulbert Outdoor Center in Fairleigh, Vermont. The training is structured to give everyone from beginning activists to professional environmental staff the resources and tools to effectively protect national forests. The cost for the weekend is $35 per person, which includes lodging and all meals. If you'd like more information, contact Heather Dowie or Julie Wormser. Their number is 617-350-8866. That's 617-350-8866. And that is the National Forest Activist Training, February 23rd to 25th at the Hulbert Outdoor Center in Fairleigh, Vermont, sponsored by the Wilderness Society. That's going to be great stuff. Also coming up is the Arctic Wilderness Week 2001, February 24th through the 28th in Washington, D.C. Arctic Wilderness Week is a free advocacy and leadership training, and this is your opportunity to dedicate your ideas, energy, and passion to the campaign to protect the Arctic Refuge and its dazzling array of wildlife. Polar bears, grizzly bears, caribou, and thousands of migratory birds from the ravages of oil and gas development. At Arctic Wilderness Week, you will meet other Arctic Refuge advocates from all over the country, learn and improve advocacy skills applicable to any campaign, meet face-to-face with members of Congress, fight for permanent protection of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and have an unforgettable time in Washington, D.C. You'll start your Washington, D.C. experience with an informal reception, and then there'll be briefings and intense advocacy and media workshops, and then during the week, you'll put these skills to use as you storm Capitol and meet with your congressional representatives and senators. This is your chance to make your voice heard. There are a few travel scholarships available for those who cannot afford to pay their own travel, but space is limited. For more information, contact Arctic Wilderness Week. Their website is www.alaskawild.org. That's www.alaskawild.org. Or you can contact Jen at 202-544-5205. That's 202-544-5205. Or jens@alaskawild.org is the email address, jens@alaskawild.org. Once again, that's Arctic Wilderness Week 2001, February 24th through the 28th in Washington, D.C. Coming up in March in sunny Florida is the second annual Ruckus Society Alternative Spring Break Spank the Bank Action Camp. Co-sponsored by the Rainforest Action Network, Spank the Bank Action Camp will be a week-long intensive skill share in the strategies and tactics of nonviolent direct action for student organizers and activists engaged in campus and youth organizing for fundamental social change. This year's theme is Spank the Bank, focusing on the campaign to confront the world's most destructive financial institution, Citigroup. This campaign is an effort to unite different social movements to attack the corporate globalization problem at its roots, the banks. Regardless of what issue you are working on, Citibank is involved, Citigroup, that is. Whether it is forest destruction, predatory lending, militarism, fighting the prison-industrial complex, genetic engineering, or the corporate takeover of our political process, Citigroup is involved. Comprised of Citibank, investment house Solomon Smith Barney, and Travelers Insurance, Citigroup is a global slumlord, loan shark, and eco-terrorist, the Wall Street bully who will make a buck off of anything. Unless, of course, all of us get together and stop them. Workshops include the history of philosophy and nonviolence, building unity, confronting imperialism and oppression, nonviolent direct action planning, campus organizing 101, campaign strategy, direct action climbing, blockades, political theater, the fair trade area of the America who benefits from free trade agreements, how to organize a movement to kick Wall Street's ass and build an ecologically sane, just, and democratic society, etc. We will also have inspiring and visionary panels and speakers, considerable campfire conspiring, and a last night party, graduation party that will make you wistful when you're rocking in your chair in front of the fire in old folks' home. We only ask a sliding scale donation of $75 to $1 million, and no one's ever turned away for lack of funds. The world-famous roving Ruckus Kitchen will dish out yummy vegetarian meals and juicy nuggets of wisdom. Bring your vision of a global economy based on social equality and ecological sanity and join the fun. For information, contact Becca at the Rainforest Action Network. Becca at RAN, the B-E-K-A at RAN.org. Try this number, 917-560-3609. That's 917-560-3609. Or Han Shan of the Ruckus Society. That's Han, H-A-N, at ruckus.org. That number, 510-848-9565. That's 510-848-9565. Or you can apply online at www.ruckus.org or www.rand.org. The second annual Ruckus Society Alternative Spring Break, March 11th through 18th in sunny Florida. I suggest you get your reservations in soon for that one. And, of course, here's one that's a little farther out there on the same time frame, the Umpqua Gathering, UMPQUA. It's in Oregon, I believe, March 5th through 12th. It's going to be right after the ELAW conference. Come spend a day or a week in the Umpqua National Forest for training, workshops, and discussions on forest defense. Music including Danny Dolinger. Speakers, Umpqua Watersheds on the Soda Springs Dam, tentative workshops, security, primitive skills sharing, gender discussion, women's self-defense, direct action training, climbing, blockading, campaign updates, rural outreach, wild foods and herb walk, hikes to threaten timber sales, help is needed, food donations, transportation are welcome. They don't have a location yet, but our Earth First Radio will let you know when we find out. Of course, you can always try the contact information I'll get to here in a minute. Bring what you will need, maybe rain. Hikes to snowy areas are possible. For more information, email to trees4umpqua, that's trees, the number 4, umpqua, U-M-P-Q-U-A, at yahoo.com. Trees4umpqua at yahoo.com. Or 1-888-PICKAXE, that's easy, 1-888-PICKAXE, or 541-607-0888. That's 541-607-0888, or go to the Canopy Action Network table at the ELAW conference. Announcing the international campaign to ban cyanide leaching. You have gold rings, gold earrings, bracelets? Listen closely. Cyanide leaching is a highly risky technology that can be very toxic to waterways and wildlife, as seen last year in Romania and Hungary. Please help raise awareness and ban the use of cyanide leaching and gold and silver mining worldwide. Here's how. You can raise awareness about cyanide leaching and gold mining by showing a copy of the 12-minute campaign video, Water is More Precious Than Gold. Order and keep a copy in the library at your organization or one that belongs to you. To receive the video, send a donation of your choice. Make your check payable to the RIC, and I'll have that address for you in just a second. And please specify whether you'd like NTSC, which you would want if you're in the United States, or PAL if you're overseas. You can initiate a campaign in your state, county, or municipality. You can form a partnership with your local Green Party or equivalent. Draft a bill that asks for a ban on cyanide leaching in your state or area. Write to us asking for our Cyanide Be Gone pamphlet, the campaign video, and a copy of the bill we submitted to the New South Wales Parliament. And that's in Australia, of course, but hey, they speak English. It might be working here. Send an email that states you agree with cyanide leach mining should be banned in the state of New South Wales here in Australia. That's because they're working on that right now there. Start a campaign to ban cyanide leaching as part of a larger effort to stop toxic gold mining. At this point in time, there are no examples of gold mining that are not toxic. That's it, folks. All that gold is a result of toxic mining. Join the International Gold Mining Coalition, or Gold Busters, by sending us the contact details and let us know what's happening with gold mining in your region. Spread the news that approximately 80% of newly produced gold each year goes to jewelry. Help spread the news that not only is cyanide leaching a problem, but so is gold mining worldwide that tends to be associated with the dislocation of communities, human rights violations, land clearing, spills, leaks, damage to water table, and much more. Here's how you get the video and other information. Send information to Rainforest Information Center, Box 368, Lismore, that's L-I-S-M-O-R-E, New South Wales, 2480, Australia. That address again, Rainforest Information Center, Box 368, Lismore, New South Wales, 2480, Australia. And their telephone number is 011-612-662-13294. That's an international call. Zero from the United States, it would be 011-612-662-13294. And you can visit their webpage at forest.org/RIC. There is no triple W in that one. forest.org/RIC. And, of course, you can send email to ruthr, R-U-T-H-R, at aussiemail.com.au. That's R-U-T-H-R at O-Z-E-M-A-I-L.com.au. And be sure to check out their cyber jukebox at www.rainforestjukebox.org. Going to be in Oregon on February 24th. You can visit the Judy Timber Sale. You can hike into the Judy Timber Sale on the spectacular Hardesty Mountain. That's Saturday, February 24th at 10 a.m. They're going to meet at the Growers Market at 454 Willamette in Eugene, Oregon. Despite the public and political opposition, the Cottage Grove District of the Umpqua National Forest continues to call for logging in roadless areas and municipal watersheds. When the Forest Service forgets to inventory much of the roadless air forest on Hardesty Mountain, constructs a logging road over Hardesty Way Trail, and punches a new road into Unit 8 of the Judy Timber Sale. While the destructive new roading into native forest and over existing trails on Hardesty Mountain have already been completed, the two remaining timber sales of the Judy Timber Sale still offer something for everyone. Unit 6 and 8 of the Judy Timber Sale are in the headwaters of the Upper Herman Creek, which flows into Laying Creek, the source of Cottage Grove's drinking water. Forest Service will fine you if you camp or swim in this watershed, but encourages timber companies to clear cut, build logging roads, broadcast burn, tractor yard in the headwaters. Despite the requirements of the Northwest Forest Plan to protect rare old growth associated species by following survey and managed protocols, the Cottage Grove District chose to avoid surveying for rare species. As stated on page 10 of the Wildlife Specialties Report for Judy, these species of concerns have not yet been the focus of surveys conducted on the Cottage Grove Ranger District. The harvest activities would have potential impact to many of these forest-associated species by changing microclimate, foraging sites, roost habitat, and structural substrates. Unquote. In addition to being in a municipal watershed and a roadless area, the two units are on steep slopes with thin soils. The Silviculture Report states in Units 8 and 6, soils in the upper portions of this stand are thin and rocky with the exception of a portion of the stand. The stand is only moderately suited for timber production, and regeneration will be difficult in portions of the stands. The term management has long been an agency euphemism for logging. In response to a widespread concern over building roads over trails and cutting down roadless area forests, the Forest Service concluded to minimize impacts to minimize conflicts between recreational use and the management of the Lang Creek watershed, there are no plans to develop additional recreational opportunities or to provide new opportunities. In other words, they want you to stay out of your watershed while they log it for you. Of course, if you'd like more information, contact George at 541-349-9660. Once again, that's a hike to the Judy Timber Sale on Hardesty Mountain, leaving from Growers Market at 454 Willamette in Eugene, Oregon at 10 a.m. on Saturday, February 24th. Million Acre Safe Zone Campaign. The Great Plains Restoration Council, a Denver-based organization working on environmental action, social justice, and native animal protection, is kicking off a campaign to help protect prairie dogs and buffalo by creating a contiguous Million Acre Safe Zone. Project is a first step towards the creation of a Buffalo Commons. The campaign is setting up mailing lists to receive information on the project. To join the mailing list, email or receive more information, send your mailing address to Jared Manos, Great Plains Restoration Council. The email address, greatplains@gprc.org. That's greatplains@gprc.org. Or you can call 303-866-0173. That's 303-866-0173. Also coming up is the Cascadia Forest Review. This is taking place Thursday, February 15th in Portland, Oregon. Cascadia Forest Alliance will host the Caribou Commons Projects, Images, Sounds, and Music of Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Don't miss Ken Madsen's slideshow of America's Serengeti. Ken Madsen is an award-winning writer, photographer, and conservationist living in Whitehorse, Yukon Territory, with the shrub and his oil company buddies trying to get their grease-coated hands on the Alaska's North Slope. It's important now more than ever for all of us to get a sense of what we could be losing. Check out this incredible slideshow and also hear from Sandra Newman, born and raised in Old Crow, a small Arctic village at the heart of the Gwich'in Nation, who will share stories of the Gwich'in culture from thousands of years of living with the porcupine caribou herd in Alaska and northern Canada. Special musical guest, Danny Dolinger. Also, they'll have Eagle Creek and God's Valley updates. Where's this going to take place? Once again, Thursday, February 15th at the SEIU Local 49 Union Hall, the address 3536 Southeast 26th Street. That's a half block south of Powell in Portland, Oregon. Once again, Thursday, February 15th, 7:30 sharp at the SEIU Local 49 Union Hall, 3536 South 26th Street, half block south of Powell in Portland, Oregon. Want more information? 503-241-4879. That's 503-241-4879. Or you can always go to www.cascadiaforestalliance.org. That's www.cascadiaforestalliance.org. All right, we're going to take a little musical break here. This is a song by Daryl Cherney off his Timber cassette. Of course, appearing on Uncle Dennis's Earth First CD number one. This one's called Max Am's On the Horizon.
In the town of Kilgore, Theodore, Texas, was born a tailor's son. From the killing of the Indians, he learned how the West was won. His name was Charlie Hurwitz, and he terrorized the land. His killing field was Wall Street, and his gang was called Mac Sam. Mac Sam's on the horizon, an outlaw gang, a raiding company. Mac Sam's on the horizon. Ain't no one safe with her, what's running free. Used junk bonds to get cash. Left the mighty redwood forest a pile of broken slash. I think Boasty made his millions when a Mac Sam's deal was done. $1 billion paid with redwood blood and the workers' pension fund. Mac Sam's on the horizon. $10 seen in every redwood tree. Mac Sam's on the horizon. Safe with her, it's running free. With the patterns of simplicity, Charlie Hurwitz took his toll. From the aluminum of Kaiser to the oil of MCO, he blew $1.25 billion in the savings and loan scam. He put a guilty to insurance fraud. Where's the justice for Mac Sam? Mac Sam's on the horizon, and they're taking everything they see. Mac Sam's on the horizon. Ain't no one safe with her, it's 23. Now in the mountains of Rancho Mirage, where the bighorn sheep do dwell, where there used to be a ramming ground, just a Ritz-Carlton hotel. And in Tucson, Arizona, meets the flight of urban sprawl. Build the condos and a golf course, how the water tables fall. Now Earth First offers a reward, 5,000 we will pay. Whoever captures Charlie Hurwitz and puts that toy away. Cause Mac Sam's on the horizon, can't you see what's going down? Turn the forests into deserts, and the deserts into towns. Mac Sam's on the horizon, and there's no one to fight but you and me. Mac Sam's on the horizon. Ain't no one safe with her, it's running free.
And Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.